Now I'd like to read in Luke's Gospel tonight and reading in chapter 23, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And departed his raiment and cast lots. Now that'll suffice for reading. We want to gather our thoughts tonight around the place called Calvary and find something of the meaning of that scene. For it is a scene that demonstrated the depravity that's in the human heart and just how low man can sink. For it was the greatest demonstration of man's rebellion against God that ever was seen. And the very scene that demonstrated the hatred in the human breast is the very scene where we have the greatest display of divine love. Did you notice? When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And when we ponder the cross again, I learn the greatness of my need as a sinner. For it took no less a price than God's Son in death upon the cross to meet my need. We sing at times, O blessed Lord, what hast thou done? How vast a ransom paid, God's only well-beloved Son upon the altar laid. If I want to know the depth of my need, I learn it at the cross. Then as I think of the cross again, I learn something of the severity of God's judgment upon sin. And when I think of a scene when the sun refused to shine, and creation itself trembled, and the rocks were wrecked, and I hear a cry from above, hast thou sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed against it. What was it? It was the judgment of God that was due to my sin. In fact, in Gethsemane, when the Lord Jesus was drawing near to the cross, and realizing all that was involved in Calvary, prostrate upon the ground, his soul exceeding sorrowful even unto death, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. An impossibility. If God is going to be merciful to men, if pardon for my sin is going to be experienced, impossible that Calvary could be evaded. I think every thinking man with feeling has been shocked at the dreadful atrocities that man has been capable of. Man's inhumanity to man that makes countless millions more. That man could be so cruel and wicked against his fellow man should bow each one of our heads with shame. And yet at the cross, I see man at his worst. Psalm 22, the Lord could only liken men around the cross to carnivorous beasts. He said, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked hath enclosed me. They gape upon me as a ravening and roaring lion. Said Psalm 1, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. My people doth not know, Israel doth not consider. An ox will recognize the authority of man. An ass will appreciate human kindness. Man spat in his Creator's face. Man crucified his greatest benefactor. He moved amongst men, ever showing compassion to the needy. He never viewed a needy case, but he did it with compassion. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All his miracles were miracles of blessing, save one. He never performed a miracle to meet his own need. But his miracles brought blessing and provision for the needy. What was the response of men? We will not have this man to reign over us. Said Pilate, what evil hath he done? I find no fault in this man. Said that malefactor that hung alongside Christ, this man hath done nothing amiss. It was the greatest miscarriage of justice that the judge who tried the person of Christ declared him to be perfectly innocent, yet scourged him and delivered him to be crucified. The poet wrote, from Salem's gates advancing slow, what object meets mine eye? What means yon majesty of woe? What means yon mingled cry? Who can it be who groans beneath yon ponderous cross of wood, whose souls are whelmed in fears of death, whose bodies bathed in blood? This is the one that God delighted in, friend. This is the one that moved with compassion towards men. Visage more marred than any man's. Form more than the sons of men. Hardened Pilate as he gazed upon him. The meaning of the words is this: behold, in wonder the man. It was God's Son. And they crucified him. And they derided him. And said, he that hateth me without a cause. But did you notice then? When man had done his worst, when the hatred of man was shown to the person of Christ, oh, his heart went out with deepest compassion. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them that know not what to do. He told his disciples, he said, I could now pray my Father, and he would presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. And I take that to be an innumerable number, for 12 legions would be 60,000 angels. The hosts of heaven would have responded to his command. The wonder is that heaven remains silent. And he sustained life in the creature that spat in his face. He sustained life in the creatures that nailed him to the cross. And God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Why, friend? There was one who was willing to die in our stead, that souls so unworthy might live, and the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. It was the love of Christ. Love brought him down from the glory. Love brought him down from the skies. Love in his heart for the sinner led him to suffer and die. And even when men gathered around the cross like carnivorous beasts and bayed for his blood and derided him, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. That's why we sang tonight the love that Jesus had for me. I don't know your past, friend. But the love that Jesus had for me, for you, to suffer on the cruel tree that I, a ransomed soul, might be, it's more than tongue can tell. I think I've told it here before. I recall being in a prayer meeting at home one night, and a young lady stayed behind after the prayer meeting. She said, I came to the Sunday school here until I was in my late teens. I went over to London to work. And after some time, she said, I married and we settled down to live our life without God. That's a tragedy. But she said, God gave us a baby boy. And one night I was putting him off to sleep. And I said to my husband, isn't he lovely? He said, would you part with him? Oh, she says, I couldn't bear to. After some minutes, we went into our living room, and I burst into tears. He said, what's the matter? She says, George, I have just remembered that God had one son, and he gave him to die for the like of you and me. And she says, George, we have just ignored him. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. She says, I just told him what I'd learned in the Sunday school. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And she said, I've come back to tell you that through what I learned in the Sunday school, both my husband and I have got saved. What was it that touched her heart? It should touch any man's heart in tonight's meeting. That such was the love of God toward the sinner. That he gave the son that he delighted in. And he gave him to the death of the cross. What said the prophet? Wounded. Bruised. Oppressed and afflicted. God spared him not. Why, said the prophet, for our transgressions. For our iniquities. and it's with His stripes we are healed. Man's hatred against the Lord without a cause. Oh, said John, herein is love. Never was there love like this. Not that we love God, said John, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the Savior of the world. Man, do you question God's interest in your blessing tonight? Do you question the desire of God for your salvation? Think of the cross. Impaled upon a cross of shame. And said the Savior, shame hath covered my face. Reproach hath broken my heart. It was for our transgression. It was for our iniquities. If I wanted to silence a self-righteous man that would tell me that he's doing his best to gain divine favor, and I don't believe any man has done his best. But should a man do his best? What an insult. To stand by the cross and see that is the price that my sin demanded, and that is the price that heaven's justice demanded to provide salvation, and to mention the best that I could do. What an insult. What an insult to mention my baptism for salvation. When I view the Son of God suffer. And says your Bible, the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins. That's why He died. If I wanted to lift a downtrodden sinner with a past as black as sin could make it. For indeed, had we read down this chapter, we read of a malefactor. And he's crucified for his crimes. And he said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, when the court sentenced me to death by crucifixion for my crimes, he said it was a just sentence. But turning to the Christ on the center cross, oh, he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. There's one without a sin of his own, and he's suffering on the cross, and he's suffering for sins. Said Peter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And turning to that sinless one as he suffered, oh, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And said Christ, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. A man judged unfit to dwell with men on earth. And through the work of Christ fitted the very same day to enter into courts of glory, and that in the immediate presence of Christ. Oh, there's a verse in my Bible and I love it. I don't know your past. Should your past be as black and dark as the malefactor? Could you drink in the truth of this verse? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Enough in the work of Christ to meet your need. Such was my need, friend, that nothing less than the death of God's Son and midst rending rocks and darkening skies, my Savior bowed his head and died. It took that to meet my need. Thank God 50 years ago, I took it in, that's enough, and I trusted him for salvation. And the language of my Bible, and it's impossible that God should lie, is this: he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What had I that night? It was Christ died for the ungodly. Says I, Christ has died for me, and that satisfies my need. 50 years later, I have preached. I have prayed. I have sought to live in the fear of God. What have I got tonight? It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. What more could I have, friend? It has satisfied every claim of divine justice to meet my need. And friend, I rest solely upon Christ and his work upon the cross. But when I think of that scene, and I hear the cry of Christ out of that scene of darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And said the poet, it was because my sin by God on him was laid. He himself had never sinned, for sinners sin was made. God knows, I wouldn't like to face the judgment of God that was my due. I rejoice in that assurance. There's therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. All that was my due was borne by Christ and exhausted. And a cry went from the cross with a loud voice, it is finished. And done was the work that saves, once and forever done. I'll quote it in closing. It is finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not a work completed to take away sin that has fully satisfied every claim that a just God had against sin? And a work completed that has satisfied every believer in Christ? We say then, why, dear soul, why not for thee.